Hello, friend. What an honour to have you here in this our quiz cupboard. I bravely and steadfastly remain John, your ever so humble host and question master. This week's theme is quiz, so let's do something resembling that, shall we? Starting with a false instruments round for the first time in absolutely ages. Episode 71 was the last one, according to my extensive records, so let's correct that forthwith. For those who haven't had this experience before, False Instruments involves me recreating famous song introductions using my MIDI keyboard, who I regret calling Gary, then changing the sound of all the instruments to confuse and delight you. You need to say the name of the song and the name of the artist who first recorded and released that song, and those answers are worth a point each. The first song I've changed to be on the recorder, lute, dulcimer and harpsichord. As you will hear, I'm calling it the Tudor Band, probably very inaccurately. And I just want to contradict myself immediately and say I'm accepting multiple different artists for this one, because it turns out it's a cover, unbeknownst to me up until this moment. Enjoy it anyway. Question one. And cutting out right where the words would come in, because Gary can't sing. That is question one. I need two answers from you. Remember the name of the song, and more liberally, let's say, the name of the artist that released it. Question two, we are on Just Timpani. This was a bit of a weird decision by me, as you'll hear, but here it is, number two. A little bit more sinister than originally intended, which, to be frank, I love. Number three is a synth version. I do like making these. Tell me what the song is. Yep, that's the one. I spend time making all these. Don't think about it too much. Number four is now on some mallet instruments, the mini marimba and xylophone, making a nice pairing here. The most recent one of the five that won, and come to think of it, not even that recent, comparatively speaking. Let's end with number five, which I've changed to be on my favourite instrument, Owen Wilson. Look, all I can do is apologise. It's done now. That's the end of round one. Round two coming up after this little bit of music. Round two is a movie round. It's called Review to a Kill. This is a round I debuted in the recent film special, which I highly recommend. Adding to the pantheon of rounds designed around my love of non-conforming reviews. These are all one or half a star reviews of well-regarded films that I've found on public review sites, and of which I'm going to give dramatic readings, excerpts anyway. To narrow it down for you, I'll give you the years of release, and I'll tell you they're all animated films. Starting then with question one, and I quote. Oh, this is from 2001, by the way. Not 1 minute of this makes any sense. It is as though some anime guy has just completed a bad LSD trip and committed it to film. Girl has parents turned to pigs? Why? Maybe it makes more sense in the subtitled version than the dreadfully dubbed version, but I doubt it very much. All the kudos heaped on this tosh is a severe case of the Emperor's New Clothes. Is question one, name that animated film for 2 points, please. Number two, I've chosen two very short reviews, and don't worry, they are very short. The film is from 1994. Review number one goes like this, quote, "So now we all stan imperialism just because it is run by sexy cats. Okay." And review number two goes, quote, "Bad songs and bugs don't taste like chicken." 1994, the year on that you follow, I'm sure. 1940, we're going back to for film number three, and the review reads thus: "The worst movie ever made. The whole movie is brooms getting water. This film made me sleep. It should be number one on the bottom 100 on IMDb. If you liked this movie, you need new taste. If you hated this film, you got good taste." 1940, that film. Number four, we're on to 2005, a little bit more recent, and I quote, "I had laughed so hard I almost wet my pants over the shorts, the evil penguin and the wrong pants, but OMG, the movie was not funny. What happened? Did someone run out of juice? Is that why it took 5 years? It seems to be a waste of voice talent and time and money." That one from 2005. And finally, 2007, only a little hop forwards 2 years, and it goes. "For some reason, we're supposed to like Linguini and feel happy that he gets the girl, but he is a nobody who should have been fired for messing with the soup." Is our last one, 2007, just to reiterate. And that is our last one for this round. Please feel free to rewind and pause at any time if you need some more of those wise words. But round three is our next order of business.
Yeah, it's dignity. I sleep in a racing car. Do you? Yeah.
Look, you're spitting.
Dignity.
I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
And it's an anything but round. These questions are worth 2 points, like the rest, and should explain themselves pretty well. Basically, I take the easiest answer that fits, and you can choose any of the others that you like. These answers will all be famous people, by the way. I've decided on different loose themes for everything this week. You are very much subject to my whims. Never forget that. Number one is, name any ex-husband of Demi Moore except Bruce Willis. They were married, Demi Moore and Bruce Willis, from 1987 to 2000, according to my sources. And she has had in her time two other husbands, none currently, again, according to my reliable sources. But name either of her two other husbands than Bruce Willis, or ex-husbands, yes. Number two is, name any legitimate child of Henry VIII except Queen Elizabeth I. Now, I'm using the old-fashioned definition of legitimate here. In wedlock, born in wedlock, born to the woman that Henry VIII was married to at the time. He has, in total, or he had four children that survived pregnancy and childbirth. So I'm looking for any of the other three other than Queen Elizabeth I, probably the most famous and the longest lived, his daughter to Anne Boleyn. Number three is, name any member of the Supremes from 1962 to 67, except Diana Ross. I've chosen those years because this is when they were a trio in their maybe their most famous iteration after Barbara Martin left. So she's not one of the answers. Clue. And before they became Diana Ross and the Supremes, end quote. So the three that had equal billing for 5 years in the name of the group, at least, either the other two that are not Diana Ross. Number four is another American one. Name any current justice on the United States Supreme Court except Brett Kavanaugh. It is currently 2024, I should mention. It's the final year of Joe Biden's first, maybe only, term as president. Brett Kavanaugh, I'd say, remains one of, if not the more famous justice of the Supreme Court in foreign climes like these, at least because of the, let's call it, brouhaha around his appointment. But there are eight others to choose from if you can name any of the other eight current justices of the Supreme Court as of late March of 2024. Then you can have 2 points. An easy one for Americans, a harder one for the rest of us, I'd say. And number five. Name any of the five actors with the most lines in the American version of The Office, except Steve Carell. By far and away, number one in this list, Steve Carell. This is according to analysis by Julia Ledoux. Michael Scott is Steve Carell's character and has the most lines out of anyone in the American Office. I want any of the other four of the top five. We're talking actors here, not the names of the characters, please. If you can name one of those, you get 2 points. If not, you don't. It's a quiz. Round four's after this.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's try something.
Let's play this backwards and see if it gets any better. Better.
And here's another returning prodigal child of around, Debuck Zook. That means I'm going to say the answers three times and then reverse the recording so you hear it backwards wise. Then you just sound out the sounds in reverse, don't you, in your car, and you'll get the right answer. This time they're all European capital cities. Couldn't be simpler. Let's go. Number one.
Mer. Mer. Mer.
Yep, that was the answer. Whatever European capital city I was saying, reversed is what your answer is going to be for 2 points. That was number one. Number two is this.
Oslo. Oslo. Oslo.
That's a fun one. Remember, I'm going to try and recreate these in reverse, but in using my voice later on for the answers. Looking forward to that one. Number three might be the hardest one. Give it a chance. Here it is.
Vergas. Vergas. Vergas.
Interesting, isn't it? Please remember at all times that I do have this accent. There's nothing I can do about that. Number four is this.
Sarah. Sarah. Sarah.
Oh, some consonants come across better than others in reverse, don't they? And number five is this one.
Aphis. Aphis. Aphis.
And there we go. It was all aphis about nothing. That's all of my questions, but I do have answers for you, guaranteed. If you want and or need more Quiz Cupboard in your life, patreon.com/quizcupboard is somewhere I'd recommend you go. Or if there's someone you like who's always bemoaning the fact they haven't got anywhere to put their coffee, go to quizcupboard.com and buy a mug or one of the many other fine things on offer there, mostly for the very cheapest price I could set. I must be mad. There's social media too, at quizcupboard, and there's an email address, quizcupboard@gmail.com for your pertinent thoughts. Oh, and remember to vote for your favourite round if you're listening on Spotify, which statistically you are. And just for sitting through that, admin, here are some answers to round one, false instruments. Number one was, you'll remember, on recorder, lute, dulcimer and harpsichord, the Tudor Band. And here it is, blending into the real song. Yep, just an educational few seconds of that. It was Dancing in the Moonlight. It was Top Loader playing it in 1999. Although, yes, like I mentioned, there are a lot of other artists. A cover of a song, it turns out, by Sherman Kelly, originally recorded by Bofalongo, and then King Harvest, both from the 1970s. So you could have had, for the artist, Top Loader, Sherman Kelly, Bofalongo, or King Harvest. Everyone's welcome. And the song, Dancing in the Moonlight, that's the only title I will accept for that one. Number two was this slightly odd timpani version of... That's the Four Tops there in 1965. The Four Tops, the artist, and I am actually accepting two different answers here. The song is called I Can't Help Myself, as you heard there, but the subtitle I'm also accepting, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch, which you also heard there, because I'm very nice. So I Can't Help Myself or Sugar Pie Honey Bunch, or both if you are very accurate, and the Four Tops, the artist, 1 point for each of those answers, for a maximum of 2, to be clear. Number three. synths. Don't Go Breaking My Heart, that one, as you can hear, and Elton John and Kiki Dee, the duettists, accepting either of those. I'm in charitable mood. Back to 1976 there. So Don't Go Breaking My Heart, the song, Elton John and or Kiki Dee, the artist. Number four was our Mallets. Let's get them out again. Yeah, the popular strains of Taylor Swift with Love Story there, going back to early in her career, 2008, although she was already onto her second album by then, apparently. Love Story, Taylor Swift, well done if you got that. And number five was our Owen Wilson Choir. And yeah, I hope you could hear some sort of melody in there amongst the whispered wows. That's Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. Of course it is, 1988. Tracy Chapman with the legendary Fast Car there. Having a bit of a resurgence this year, that song, and deservedly so, and it's never really gone away either, has it? Well done if you got close to 10 out of 10 on that odd round, False Instruments. Hope you enjoyed it. Number two was Review to a Kill, if you remember. Let me read a little bit of each of these reviews again, just to remind you, and then tell you the answers for your 2 points. Number one was from 2001, and here's a sentence from it. It is as though some anime guy has just completed a bad LSD trip and committed it to film. Girl has parents turned to pigs? Why? Well, that is Spirited Away, one of the plot points there early on in the film. No spoilers particularly there. Spirited Away, the name of that film that our anonymous reviewer did not care for, but lots of people do. 2 points if you said that. Number two was from 1994, and it was, so now we all stan imperialism just because it is run by sexy cats. Okay. And that is The Lion King, of course. That review saying a bit more than maybe the reviewer was hoping to say about themselves. Bad songs and bugs don't taste like chicken was the other one. Wrong on both counts. All meat tastes the same. The Lion King, just to confirm that answer. 2 points if you said that. Number three was from 1940. The worst movie ever made. The whole movie is brooms getting water. Big clue there. If you've seen Fantasia, you know what I'm talking about. The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Fantasia, yes, the 1940 film being talked about there, one of Disney's early feature films with lots of classical music in it. 2005 we were for number four. I had laughed so hard I almost wet my pants over the shorts, The Evil Penguin and the Wrong Pants, but OMG, the movie was not funny. Well, if you know about The Evil Penguin in The Wrong Trousers, a shorter film by the same people, that is The Curse of the Were-Rabbit. That gives you this answer, the Wallace and Gromit feature film from 2005, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit. If you put, you know, Wallace and Gromit and the Were-Rabbit or something similar, fine. As long as you got those elements, I'm happy. Were-Rabbit, the key phrase there. Well done for that. I've never disagreed with a review more. And from 2007, question five. I'll read you the whole thing because it's short. For some reason, we're supposed to like Linguini and feel happy that he gets the girl, but he's a nobody who should have been fired for messing with the soup. That is Ratatouille. Linguini, the chef, being controlled by a rat pulling on bits of his hair. It's a cartoon, guys. Get over it. Ratatouille, the last answer there for 2 points. Round three was the anything but round, so there are some lists of answers, and you just need to listen out for your one. Number one, the two ex-husbands of Demi Moore, who are not Bruce Willis, are Freddie Moore, her husband from 1981 to 85, where she took her surname from. She is Nay Gynes, apparently. So Freddie Moore, or you could have had Ashton Kutcher, and my goodness, I suspect you did, rather than Freddie Moore, that is. Ashton Kutcher, the second answer. 2 points if you said either of those men. Number two, any legitimate child of Henry VIII except Elizabeth I. Queen Mary I, probably the most famous, Catherine of Aragon's daughter, also known as Mary Tudor or Bloody Mary, not accepting Mary, Queen of Scots. They were literally different people. But Queen Mary I is, or Bloody Mary or Mary Tudor, an acceptable answer. King Edward VI was his son from Jane Seymour. So King Edward VI only lived till the age of 15. And I'm also accepting Henry, Duke of Cornwall. He had a son called Henry who sadly didn't survive past 2 months of his life. None of Henry VIII's offspring had any children of their own, meaning his direct line died with Elizabeth I in 1603. An interesting aspect there of the whole six wives thing and his scramble for a son for most of his adult life. Bit of royal history there. Number three was any of the Supremes except Diana Ross in that window of time that I mentioned. The other two then were Florence Ballard and Mary Wilson. These three with Diana Ross, kind of the musical and film Dreamgirls is a bit about them, supposedly. Florence Ballard and Mary Wilson. Number four, the list of justices of the US Supreme Court goes from most recently appointed to least. Ketanji Brown Jackson, Amy Coney Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, Samuel Alito, John Roberts, the Chief Justice, and Clarence Thomas, appointed 32 years ago, Thomas, by George Bush Sr. Cast your mind back. So one more time, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Amy Coney Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, Samuel Alito, John Roberts, or Clarence Thomas are the other eight apart from Kavanaugh. 2 points for any of those. And lastly, any of the five actors with the most lines in the US version of The Office, the TV sitcom, except Steve Carell. So going down from number one to five here is Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight, followed by John Krasinski in third place, who played Jim, Jenna Fisher, aka Pam, at number four, and Ed Helms, aka Andy, at number five, arrived a few seasons in, but still manages to be way ahead of anyone else. Rainn Wilson, John Krasinski, Jenna Fisher, and Ed Helms, the active answers for question five of that round. And now we move on to the answers for round four, and here's a fun thing. We're going to hear them again. I'm going to try and recreate what we just heard, and then I'll reverse that and see how accurate I can be by way of revealing the answer. So you'll find out how right you were as well, and whether it was worth all those facial contortions you did. Number one was this.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
So here's my try at that.
Meow.
And here that is backwards. So good. Oh dear.
Rim.
Yep. Rome is the answer. 2 points if you said that. Rome, the capital of Italy. Number two.
Also. Also. Also.
So let's say that is
also.
Let's see how I did.
Warsaw.
Pretty good if I say so myself. Yes, that is Warsaw, the capital of Poland. 2 points. Number three, I said this was a hard one. Let's see.
Vargas. Vargas. Beregas.
Which sounds like
Beregas,
doesn't it? Let's see.
Zagreb.
I don't think I'm going to get that any closer than that. It is Zagreb, famously the capital of Croatia, to all who know. Zagreb for 2 points. Number four.
Sera. Sera. Sera.
So this is hard to do with while I know the answer for sure, but let me give it a go without being too biased.
Sera.
Let's see what that sounds like.
Paris.
Oh, I'm so good. I was trying my best not to do the p sound on the end to, you know, because that would kind of be cheating. It's not the same forwards and backwards that, but Paris, the answer. Let's get on with number five, which sounded like this.
Aifus. Aifus. Aifus.
How's your geography? This one sounds like Aifus, doesn't it?
Sofia.
There we go, indeed. Sofia with a perfect Bulgarian accent as well, just as a little flourish. And that means it's time to say Sofia later for another week. Please continue to be wonderful in all you do. And if that means telling your friends about the quiz cupboard, all the better for the world. I'll miss you terribly until next week, but let's each pledge to live our best lives until then. Okay, agreed. Bye-bye.